Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Leviticus. That's Genesis, Exodus, and then Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 27, we'll read verse 30 through 33. "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught or any of his tithes, he shall add thereunto the fifth part thereof." And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. Heavenly Father, I pray the same prayer every week, I guess. Help us to understand your word. Help us to get something out of it. And Lord, may it change our lives as we study it. And we're careful to give Jesus Christ all of the credit. And in his wonderful name we pray, amen. Now, we're still studying John the Baptist. This is part 39. And our detour into the book of Malachi, this is part 11. And in our studies, we're in Malachi chapter 3, but we will not read from it today. This lesson today is a setup for next week. We'll take a look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, when it talks of tithing. So let's jump into our message. What's a tithe? T-I-T-H-E. It's a Hebrew word that means tenth. And God is giving instructions to the Jews. He says when you tithe, when you pay your tenth, let's say it's a tax from God. Let's just say that it is. Whatever increase you had, I don't know if it was a yearly thing that they did. I don't know. I could go look it up and tell you, but off the top of my head, I don't know. But whenever they collected the tithe or paid the tithe, if they had an orange tree, and I don't know that they had that in Israel, but let's just say orange tree because that's what we have here. If you picked 100 oranges, then 10% or 10 belongs to God. And then according to the way that the book said, you were supposed to give it to God, if it was to bring it to the priest or whatever. But a tenth belongs to God. Then he talks of the herd, a sheep or a lamb or whatever, and the shepherd was supposed to take his flock in funnel them and make them pass underneath a rod. And one guy would count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever. Okay, that's the 10th one. Take that one and put them aside. And then they'd run the next batch of 10, and the 10th one then would also be put aside. And those collected 10s, that was the 10th, that was the tithe, and they were supposed to be given to God, however it happened. But we talked extensively in Malachi chapter 1 and 2 about the priests, that they were corrupt, and they would show partiality. They would take the best things that were given and bring them home for themselves. But he's saying here that when you have the rod and the sheep are passing under, well, the best one, I mean, the shepherd would know what the good ones are in the flock and the bad ones. He knows the runts and whatever. And when the best one passed under the rod, if it was number 8, that's fine. But if it was number 10, you weren't supposed to look and say, well, okay, that's the good one. I want to keep that. No, he says, no. That's the one that passed, good or bad, the best or the runt, it doesn't matter. You can't change it. We're not supposed to show partiality in this thing that God calls the tithe. We're supposed to trust God to provide for us, to take care of us. And even if it was the best one that could bring the highest price at market or whatever the case, if that was the one that was the 10th, that's it. You can't change it. Give it to God and trust Him. And all through the Old Testament, this idea of tithing, we see it. In Genesis chapter 14, the first instance, Abraham or Abram, as he was called before. It says that Melchizedek was the king of Salem, or I guess you could say the place of Jerusalem. Salem means peace, or shalom, we would understand in Hebrew. But Abraham came to the king, and it says that in verse 20 of Genesis 14, that he blessed the Most High God, which had delivered thine enemies into thine hand, and he gave him tithes of all. Abraham, the great father of the nation of Israel, the father of faith, because Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham, the father of us all, Jews naturally and Christians by faith being grafted in, Abraham gave a tenth of all he had to Melchizedek, the king of Salem. But again, this idea of a tithe or a tenth or passing things under the rod and giving the tenth to God, we find this all over the Old Testament. And I know I'm stressing it, but God intends for us to trust Him. And the things that we give to God, well, we had 10 and we gave 1 to God and we only got 9 now, we have to trust Him for that 90% that He lets us keep. But I want to take a look at Exodus chapter 20. And I want to read the 10 commandments. Exodus chapter 20. Let's start at verse 1 and see what we find. Verse 1 and 2, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And everybody's seen the movie, The Ten Commandments. Everybody understands the story of the Passover. But God delivers them from Egyptian bondage, where they were making pyramids in their spare time, I suppose, as slaves. But in verse 3, commandment number 1, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You're not supposed to worship false gods. You're not supposed to worship, oh, I guess we can call them Bacchus, Tammuz, Aphrodite, Ashtoreth, Baal. Well, preacher, you're talking, yeah, I know. And all of those floats for Mardi Gras, 90% of them, 80-90% of them have to do with false gods. And God is displeased, and I've said this before, God is displeased when we pay attention to false gods. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And furthermore, commandment number 2 in verse 4, 5, and 6. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. A graven image is one where you take a piece of material, if it's gold or stone or wood or wax or whatever, and you engrave the thing to make an image or the likeness of anything that is in heaven above or the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Don't make statues of these gods. In verse 5, don't bow down to them, don't serve them, don't pray to them, don't ask their help. Because God says, I'm a jealous God. I want you to worship me and not these false gods. And in fact, if you worship false gods or statues or whatever the case, I'll remember that sin unto the third and fourth generation. Your children, your grandchildren, whatever, will be cursed. Because by bowing down and worshiping and praying to false gods, you demonstrate that you hate me, God said. But Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And here in verse 8 again, Exodus chapter 20, he said he'll show mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Incidentally, this commandment, commandment number 2, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or statues, is left out by the Catholic Church. You go into a Catholic church, there are statues and idols and pictures and whatever of all sorts of saints and angels. It's offensive to God. God is a jealous God, and it's offensive to him when you pray to the saints or you pray to Mary. Okay, I know you're all mad at me. I get it. I'm only telling you what the book says. And the Catholic Church renumbered the Ten Commandments, took number 2 out, and then doubled up on the 10th one. But we're to pray to the Father in the name of, or through the agency of, Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all. He gave his life a ransom for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Father sacrificed his Son. We ought to worship him. We ought to worship his Son. And we need to quit praying to saints and angels and Mary. There's one mediator between God and man. There's one that stands between us, sinners, and God, holy, and that's the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And he proved all of what I say today by giving his life a ransom for all. And we'll come back to this idea in just a minute. But commandment number 3, it's Exodus 20, verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For God will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. When you take God's name in vain, you're guilty, and God will not forget it. He will not gloss over it. You need to repent for taking God's name in vain. Every time you say, "Oh my God," you're throwing his name around. There's no reason, if you stub your toe, for you to take the name of his Son and throw it around. There's no reason to bring God into so many things that we do, and we throw God's name around. If you go to work and something goes wrong, and every time something goes wrong at work, if you were late coming in, or the copier jammed, or the printer jammed, or your stuff broke, or whatever, every time something went wrong, you started cursing using the boss's name. That would go on for about 15 minutes, maybe, and you'd be fired. You're to show love and respect to God. After all, he sent his only begotten Son, that all you have to do is believe and you can go to heaven. So why take God's name in vain? Why throw it around? Why sully his name? Okay, maybe you don't say OMG. But then there are minced oaths, where you substitute, you don't call God's name or Christ's name. If you say gee whiz, or gosh, or some milder form, you're mincing that oath, you're cutting it down a little bit, making it more palatable. Maybe you can say gosh around the kids, but you can't use God's name as adults do. So you mince the oath. It's still God's name, and he doesn't want you just throwing it around. But let's move on. Verse 8, the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We don't have a lot of trouble with that, but let's look at commandment number 5. Honor your father and your mother, that your days would be long upon the earth which the Lord gave you. You want a long life? Respect your parents. Respect your parents. Today, kids, they don't care. They're so rebellious and arrogant and condescending. They don't behave in school. When I was in school, they chew gum and threw paper and whatever. Now, well, they have to have police and armed guards in some schools and some places, because it's not shooting spitballs. It's assault and rape and whatever else in school, and it's not right. And I know you're listening to this preacher and you're saying he's gone off his rocker. He's nuts. And maybe I am. But the Word of God is still true. The Word of God is still true. And if you want a long life, respect your parents. Commandment number 6, thou shalt not kill. The word means murder. Real killing. Actual killing. Murder. Don't murder. New Orleans is, if not number 1, certainly in the top 2 or 3 capital of murder in the United States. It's not right. Our city's going down the tubes. We ought to do what he said. Obey the Bible and not kill, not murder. Commandment number 7, and I touched on this the other day, thou shalt not commit adultery. And I read these verses, Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 30. Jesus said, you've heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his own heart. Our culture is saturated with lust. TV, internet, they can't sell a bar of soap without having some scantily dressed model to show up on your TV. Everywhere we look, we have a sensual society, a sensual culture. But Jesus called out lust, and it's something we need to flee. Commandment number 8, thou shalt not steal. Well, duh, if it don't belong to you, don't take it. Commandment number 9, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Revelation chapter 21, verse 6 through 8. There's a scene in heaven. John is in a vision. But Jesus said, it is done. I'm the Alpha and Omega. The plan of God is done. Salvation is done. It's all over. It's done. But I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. If you've listened to this sermon and you realize, hey, I've been taking God's name in vain, I know I shouldn't do that, and I've been looking at stuff on the internet, I shouldn't, Lord, please forgive me. God will give you a drink from the fountain of heaven. He'll put living water in your soul if you only come to him and repent. To him that overcomes, he'll inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. You can be a son or a daughter of God if only you would turn to him and repent and say, Lord, I want to live right. But he said, Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable are those that live like we see on the internet, and idolaters, those that worship statues and pray to them, and all liars will have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone. And he said, this is the second death. You die once, they put you in the ground, but then you stand before God, and if you've lived like the devil, you'll spend eternity with the devil. And then commandment number 10, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, or thy neighbor's wife, or his servants, his manservant, menservant, or his ox, or his ass, or donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. It's the 10th commandment. It's not split as the Catholic Church does to make the count add up to 10. They got rid of commandment number 2, don't have idols in your church, don't have statues, don't pray to them. They got rid of that, but it's got to be 10. So they took the 10th one and split it in 2. The context, the obvious context here is covetousness, when you are desiring somebody else's stuff. All the other commandments, they have distinct context. It's talking about the thing it's talking about. Don't covet. Don't desire somebody else's stuff. I mean, if your neighbor's got a nice grill or a nice car or whatever, you may say, well, you know, I would want to have that. And if you got the money, you go down to Home Depot or the Chevrolet place or whatever, and you buy with your own money, that's fine. You can say, well, I got something to look forward to. Maybe I'll save. But to sit there and envy him and covet what he's got and maybe take what he's got and break another commandment, that's wrong. I know that this is a hard sermon. I know I probably got people mad at me. I understand that. But God loves you. And he puts these commandments in place so that you'd live right and so that he can be pleased with you in the life that you live. And so that you'd be able to live with God and Jesus in heaven forever. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's JoeyKelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.